Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
There's a conversation being had now that maybe the school children who are going to miss essentially half the year, a third of their year, should repeat next year. This isn't just in Chicago and Illinois. It's throughout the country. Students are not getting this year of schooling. So what do? Just advance them and essentially let them miss a year of schooling or a half a year and what they forgot from the first half? Mike Petrilli is a Washington Post opinions contributor and president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. And his opinion is what? Hi, Mike. You're on WGN. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Great to be with you.
So what do you think we should do about this?
Yes. You know, in the Post article, what I argue is that a lot of schools should think about keeping all of their students in the same grade next fall, especially schools that have lots of kids who are already behind, who are already a year or two below grade level before the crisis even struck. And sadly, there are a lot of those schools out there. Many of them are serving high-poverty kids growing up in tough circumstances, where already they were struggling to read and to do math. And now they are the kids that are least likely to be learning much at home as some schools try to transition to teaching over the Internet and other distance learning. You know, these are the kids who may not have Internet access at home or whose parents may still be out there working on those frontline jobs, not able to help them. And so they are likely losing ground as we speak. And the idea that they should come back in the fall and we're just going to move them ahead anyway doesn't seem to make any sense. And that's especially the case if we really don't know what next fall is going to be like. We really don't know if we're going to be back to normal in our schools or if there might be some additional closures if there's some more outbreaks.
Boy, that thought takes my breath away. I've got July 4th circled on my calendar, Mike. I hope we can return to some semblance of normal by midsummer. You know, here in Illinois, it's the end of the month. In fact, yesterday was the day we were supposed to go back to some semblance of normal. We pushed it to the 1st of May. And then, you know, people are hedging that bet and thinking it'll be June. But July 4th is my date. But the idea that we wouldn't have the NFL or regular school in September is disheartening, but maybe we should be prepared for that. But you're not even saying that has to be the case. You would say even if we were in school in September, schools with underperforming kids should at least consider this. But it's a whole chain, right? I mean, so then what happens to all of the other classes that would be coming through? If I'm held in my year, everybody gets held back. Yeah. Then are you going to deny some kindergartners? I mean, how do you do this?
Yeah, no, look, there's no doubt it would be a challenge. Picture that we do this for elementary schools, because these are the kids who, you know, are going to have the hardest time learning right now over the Internet. You know, if you can't read yet, if you can't work independently, as it's really hard to do if you're 5, 6, 7 years old, you probably aren't learning much right now. It might be a little different for middle school or high school. So, you know, for elementary schools, imagine next fall what we'd have is basically two cohorts of kindergarten classrooms. You'd have the younger kids who are coming in as planned into kindergarten for the first time, and you'd have this other class of kindergartners held back from last year. And you would have for a while this sort of two-track system going forward. It's not ideal, but it does seem better than just pushing kids ahead. Imagine a kid's in third grade right now. They're doing reading and math at a first grade level right now. You're going to put them in fourth grade next year, even though they can't read, they can't do basic math. That is just setting them up for failure for really the rest of their academic career. So this, no doubt, would be challenging, but a lot of things schools are having to do right now are challenging. We really got to think outside the box.
I know what people are thinking. They don't like your idea, but they appreciate you at least acknowledging this. I hadn't thought about that. So, you know, if a parent or grandparent listening to this conversation right now thinks, well, my kid is fine, they do fine, they achieve at level, maybe above grade, they're not so vulnerable to what they're going to lose by next fall. But if the kid's already behind a year or more, and there's plenty of them as well in the Chicago area, wow, what a challenge for them if, like you said, the kid at first grade level is now being handed fourth grade stuff. And probably what's going to happen is they're going to advance these kids to the fourth grade and then teach them third grade stuff.
Yeah, and look, there are plenty of other good ideas out there we should explore. I mean, if you are right and we're back to normal by the 4th of July, that would be great. We should think about starting the school year early next year so that we can recapture some of this time. We should think about, you know, for kids who are way behind, can we do more after school? Can we do have Saturday school? Next summer, can we do more? I mean, the point is a lot of kids need extra time anyway. And again, it tends to be the kids coming from those poor neighborhoods where they may not be able to get some of what they need at home, or all the challenges of poverty. We've got to make up for that with more time in school. This is one idea, is to hold kids back. If we're not going to do that, then systems like the Chicago Public Schools have got to figure out a way to get these kids a lot more time, some tutoring, one-on-one help, small group instruction. Otherwise, they are going to be further and further behind as they make their way up through the grades. And that's not going to be, that's going to mean when they finally get to be in 12th grade and ready for what's next, you know, they're still going to be way, way behind the eight ball. So we've got to act now. The sooner, the better.
Here's a couple of texts, 312-981-7200. If I take a commercial break, I know you'll call. Don't wait for that. If you want to call, call right now, 312-981-7200. We won't take a break now, but this is your cue to call if you've got a question, comment, observation. You've got some kids in school. How about they repeat a year? Mike Petrilli is on a phone line. You may have read his opinion piece like this at the Washington Post. At WAPO.com, he is the president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Hey, John, we are 27 weeks into the school year. The last nine are still to come. You don't repeat at this point. John, before you suggest students repeating a current grade, what should we tell the parents of students in private school? Pay another year of tuition? Boy, that's a roadblock, Mike.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, the private schools, boy, they are facing some huge challenges, too. You know, I think they tended to be pretty quick on switching to distance learning in many cases. Yeah, but now parents are paying tuition for an experience that's very different from what they had in mind. And a lot of those parents, of course, are suddenly out of work or are afraid that they may be soon out of work with the economy cratering. So those private schools are going to have big problems in their mind. Keep in mind, though, the point here is we don't want to advance kids who were already behind and are losing ground. That's not everybody. There are plenty of kids who are on grade level or above and who may be learning a lot at home, you know, with their families when families are able to do that for them right now. And we've got this great experiment in homeschooling happening. I've got my kids upstairs right now with my wife, you know, working on their studies as it is. So, you know, I'm not making the case that this has to be for everybody. But if you've got a school, and Chicago has plenty of them, where basically all the kids in elementary school were already struggling, those are the schools in particular that should be considering this.
Some of the best schools in the country are in the Chicago Public School District, and some of the poorest performing in the state are also on the Chicago Public School District. Paula, you're on WGN. What's your question, comment, observation?
Oh, yeah. I just, you know, crosses my mind, rather than holding all the kids back a year, change the curriculum so that they spread out second semester of this year into the beginning of next year and just over the next few years kind of play catch up.
Yeah, that's. But you're not the first person to suggest that. I'm glad you called. Really, if we lose this semester, let's just make the September the sort of end of the previous year's grade. Right, Mike?
Yeah, I like that idea, too, and especially if it means that the students go back to teachers that they already know. I mean, imagine this fall, these kids, you know, will have been out of school for basically 6 months. A lot of them will have gone through some awful, pretty traumatic experiences. It would be nice for them, especially these younger kids, to be able to go back to a familiar teacher that they had, you know, their teacher from this year, and then kind of after spending some time paying attention to their social, emotional needs and the like, and doing a lot of review, then taking it from there. I think that makes a lot of sense.
What's the reaction you've been getting?
Well, as you indicated, overwhelmingly, people hate this idea. Now, I think they are reacting in part to the very the headline from the Washington Post didn't have a lot of nuance to it. It sounded like I was proposing holding everybody back. And as I've been saying, I'm really focusing on the younger kids and kids who were already struggling. But look, I think this, you know, we are used to this idea in our culture that kids progress every year. And I think a lot of people feel like somehow we would be punishing children by holding them back. You know, what I'm trying to argue here is, first of all, if you hold everybody back, it's not sort of there's no stigma to it. It's just what the whole school's doing. And secondly, the real punishment comes from pushing kids ahead when they are not ready and never making up the lost ground. I mean,
if we did that, it would be a disservice maybe to a generation of kids, but at least it would be apples to apples, right? So that you wouldn't lose ground relative to your peers, but maybe in the 12th grade or the 16th grade, we're sending kids off to college or the real world, having essentially missed half a year of education. Then maybe China has the advantage. Yeah. But I don't know that kids relative to one another are losing anything, and maybe over the course of time they pick up the difference. But I'm interested in this conversation. Mm-hmm. It's the details. So back to some phone calls. Jim has one. You're on WGN. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. I'm a retired teacher. One of the practical considerations is the cost. If you're going to add tens of thousands of students, it's one of the reasons summer school is limited, and sometimes it's often the reason for not holding students back and kind of the social promotion thing. Money is a big factor.
I can just see the Chicago Teachers Union negotiating this deal, right? Where if they have to work extra days, extra hours, or something, I mean, that's that. What do you think about that, Mike? The cost.
Yeah. Look, you know, in the short term, it doesn't really add any money if, say, we're only doing this in elementary school. You would just have this strange dynamic of having, say, two kindergarten classes, cohorts, and nobody or almost nobody in, say, sixth grade, right? The elementary schools wouldn't be sending kids on to middle school. Or I guess in Chicago, I think you've got mostly K-8, but you may have some grades with basically no kids. So that creates huge logistical challenges for sure, but it doesn't necessarily add to the cost. Now, down the road, if you end up basically paying for an extra year of education for a whole bunch of kids, yes, that bill would eventually come due. It's interesting, though. Imagine if colleges right now,
hold that thought for just one second, Mike. It's almost 10:25 on WGN. I'm going back into our radio newsrooms. We're out of time now with our guests. So Mike Petrilli, whose piece in the Washington Post has stirred a lot of interesting head scratching and conversation here in Chicago. Mike, we're out of time now, but if people want to read that and argue with their family and friends, where do they find that? At, I guess, WashingtonPost.com, right?
That is correct, and they can check out the think tank I run at FordhamInstitute.org.
FordhamInstitute.org. Mike Petrilli. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your time and thoughts.
Hey, appreciate you having me on.